The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and we have a very full agenda for you this morning. With me, Dr. Herb Slavin, and good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
Lots and lots to talk about this morning. Lots that's in the news, lots that's on our minds.
Well, you know, we spoke about the Zika virus yesterday, and then today, or yesterday, the Florida governor declared a state of emergency regarding the virus that affects four counties in Florida because of nine cases of travel-related Zika virus. Well, that's interesting because before the show, Jan and I were discussing this.
Discussing perspective well, on the news.
You know, and I felt, you know, he had to do it, not because nine cases is an emergency at all, but what could happen in the future if they're all travel related? What if so many people come to Central Florida with bringing in Zika into the state?
Okay, so traveling from South American, Central American countries where the Zika virus is prevalent, and I'm thinking about Brazil. Brazil, there's a very, very significant presence of the Zika virus contaminating citizens. Okay, so people are traveling here. We know that there can be human-to-human contamination.
Well, I don't think that's the whole answer. People come here with the Zika virus. The four out of five people, they say, may not even know they have it. One out of five might know it. They may have some aches and pains, maybe a rash.
So do we need to do blood tests of people arriving from countries where there is a Zika virus outbreak?
Just so you know, Miami-Dade, Lee, Hillsborough, and Santa Rosa counties are the ones.
Okay, Miami-Dade, Lee, Hillsborough, and Santa Rosa. I don't know where Santa Rosa is. So here's Miami-Dade.
Here's the point. If you have a lot of people coming in from other countries that may have the Zika virus in them and they don't even know it, and they get bitten by mosquitoes here in Florida, now you have the ability for the mosquitoes to transfer that virus.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is you want a think tank of some really intelligent infectious disease specialists, epidemiologists, and just creative thinkers, because I don't necessarily think declaring a state of emergency, what is that going to do?
I'm glad you asked. I have the answer to that.
Oh, well.
By declaring the state of emergency, that allows him to start spraying to kill mosquitoes.
Ooh, might there be an agenda there?
Well, I mean,
chemtrails, DDT. What are we spraying into our environment that are going to kill these genetically engineered, we know that, mosquitoes? And how dangerous might that pesticide be? And so for all of those people who may or may not be infected with the Zika virus, the additional, let's say 95% of the population is not infected with the Zika virus, and we are going to expose that 95% of the population to a pesticide, to the pesticide that we might not know for, oh, let's say 20, 25 years, how dangerous it was and how significantly negative the impact on the health of those non-infected people will be.
Well, I think maybe there is not a good answer right now, but here's...
You didn't like my think tank?
No. but that's only a strategy, but not a solution. There are more than 5 million international visitors coming to Central Florida each year.
How many are of childbearing age?
Wait, 1.9 million of them from South America, primarily Brazil, where the virus is widespread. And I think it makes sense to just be in a position to act quickly. That's all.
Okay, but so we're going to act quickly and we're going to spray. Is that the...
Until you come up with a better solution. You know, they thought they had a better solution in Brazil, ground zero, because all this outbreak started when they introduced the genetically engineered mosquitoes into the environment. That was the solution they had tried because on paper it made sense, and it's felt that that perhaps...
Exacerbated the situation.
Unleashed this virus more, you know, prior to the genetically engineered approach with mosquitoes, there was very few cases of the Zika virus. So, by the way, there are now 30 travel destinations on the list of countries that have the Zika virus, and most of them are in Latin America or the Caribbean.
Okay, but what are the states in the United States that should be noted as well? Because there's Florida, there's Texas, Mississippi.
I think Florida and Texas are the only states so far.
Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, and South Carolina. And that's one map. Another map has a larger number of states.
So right now, with regard to the Zika virus, they just say pregnant women should postpone trips to these destinations just as a precaution. And I think it's...
Okay, so not that I'm in favor of it, but is there any benefit to, in general, the entire population being using mosquito repellent?
Probably.
I think that that's a very, very reasonable approach. Just keeping in mind... because of the human-to-human potential contamination.
I'm more concerned about people coming to the Florida with the virus, getting bit by a mosquito here, and then infecting the mosquito population in Florida. And that's where it's going to get transmitted, I think, a lot more than through sexual transmission.
Okay, well, we're on different sides of the desk on that one, aren't we?
you think sexual transmission would be prevalent?
Let's just say kissing.
A lot.
Let's just say kissing.
You know,
let's just say sneezing. I mean, I think that there are a lot of ways, and you said, according to that article, that there are so many people who don't realize that they are infected.
Well, it wasn't until that case came up where the man got the Zika virus that they were even aware that it could be transmitted sexually. They thought it was just by mosquito.
Right.
So now that opened up a whole new realm of possibilities. And be interesting to see how this plays out because, I mean, we see it happening every year with the flu virus, with the avian flu. I mean, all the different viruses, they seem to exaggerate. Of course, hindsight is 2020. It never seems to pan out as they are predicting. But I think it just gives the state more power to do things quickly if they're in a state of emergency.
I'm about to make a truly controversial statement. What might a suggestion be if there were a test for a woman who is pregnant and she is found to have the Zika virus, and what do you do?
I don't think they have the answer to that either, because they say the real concern about the Zika virus is in pregnant women because it's associated with microcephaly, a child being born with a damaged brain and a small head. They don't know what part of the pregnancy exposure to the virus is a problem. Is it a problem only in the first trimester, or can it be a problem throughout the pregnancy? They don't even know that. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. So now I want to put things into a greater perspective.
Just before we go to the greater perspective, Dr. Slavin, I should say that supporting your B complex status. So in order to do that, most likely a very, very high quality coenzymated B complex to be using on a daily basis, as well as a very important beneficial probiotic, because it's with the probiotic that you're able to utilize those B vitamins. When your B vitamin status is supported and enhanced, your aroma that would potentially attract mosquitoes is not that attractive to the mosquitoes. So be really attentive to your B vitamin status. And that's pretty much everybody, not just the pregnant ladies. You minimize the potential for attracting mosquitoes of all kinds.
I wonder if eating a lot of garlic would have keep the mosquitoes away.
That too. But the B vitamins has a very, very subtle effect on your pheromones, and your mosquitoes are not so attracted to you. And when there's garlic in the picture, the blood for sure makes them say, don't go near that person.
Now, yesterday, I don't think this got any attention, but Tuesday, President Obama asked Congress for an additional $1.1 billion to combat a growing epidemic of prescription painkiller and heroin abuse.
Well, it's very interesting because I just received a text this morning that a 40-year-old gentleman, a very, very successful, very prominent in his industry, very, very much involved with family, was found dead of an overdose. So I don't have any details, but because of who he is, I kind of doubt that it was street drugs. So more likely prescription drugs.
But when it comes to managing pain,
We need to do this after the break. So hold that thought, Dr. Slavin. Managing pain. And when we get back from this break on Natural Doc Radio, we'll hear more about the efficiency of opioids in controlling your pain management. And stay tuned for more. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just before the break, we were talking about pain management. Dr. Slavin?
Clearly, there's a problem. I think Florida is ground zero for the problem as far as...
Really? Wow.
We heard about pill mills and people just coming in from other states to get medication. We don't know for sure, though. Are they coming in just for recreational access to drugs for recreational use? Or do they have real pain issues? And the doctors in the other states, when they were coming in, wouldn't write the prescriptions? Because we know that's the problem, too, where patients with pain are being undertreated. So, you know, that's an issue. And I can tell you, over the years, I've had recently, because of the difficulty in getting pain medication, I know of one patient has committed suicide. Didn't die of a drug overdose. He committed suicide because he couldn't get pain relief.
And the people that I've worked with regard to pain and attempting to adjust their diet so that their medications would be more effective, they feel very, very much scorned by the medical community, and that when they go to the emergency room looking for relief from their pain, the view of the people treating them in the emergency room is, you're just here to get meds and you're abusing meds. And there is in some cases, very little sympathy for the intensity of the pain that these people are experiencing.
I have to say, a large majority of the patients I have requiring pain medication, that wasn't their first choice. They had surgery for their back problems, and now they have even more pain after the surgery. You see, and now what can you do? The surgery, and we have a name for a post-laminectomy pain syndrome. It's the growth of scar tissue where the surgery was done, creating a similar problem that they had the surgery for in the first place.
And they go back to the doctor who had assured them that this procedure was going to be significant relieving of their pain, and now their pain is worse, and the doctor says, well, I'm sorry, I've done everything I can do.
The recommendation for back surgery is not for pain relief. The indication is to decompress a nerve. So how do you know there's a nerve compression? You have neurological symptoms like a foot drop, maybe incontinence. That's when you have the surgery. But not for pain relief, we know the surgery doesn't work.
So what is a potential solution to this problem? How can we go about supporting people and relieving their pain?
Never going to happen. I mean,
it's never going to happen.
You have to leave.
No,
you educate the patient. You know, if you use the medication the way it's prescribed, and the way pain medicine should be taken, is not when the pain starts, is in anticipation of the pain. So it's in your system, and you control the pain that way.
Try talking to the people in hospitals, and when the patient calls for the nurse and says, it's starting to get bad. And the nurse looks at her watch and says, well, you're not due for another 45 minutes. And the patient says, hey, I don't know that I can stand this for 45 minutes. And the nurse looks at her watch and she leaves. She says, well, maybe I'll call the doctor and see if I can adjust things. But the patient knows she's just walking out of the room. She's not calling anybody.
Well, the nurse can't make that decision.
I understand.
And And this is a perfect example of how pain is undertreated by physicians. But I'm going to go on to the next topic. But before I do,
did we finish this one as well as we could? One of the things that I'm just going to say, and this is nutritionist talking, no sugar, no sugar, no sugar, no artificial sweeteners, no junk food, no diet sodas. Be really, really careful with commercial dairy products and watch out for gluten. Okay.
So, but just to finish the topic, you have two classes of people, those that are taking pain medicine for legitimate reasons and using it appropriately, and those, of course, that aren't, that doing it for recreational purposes. And clearly, the latter is wrong, but the people that need pain medication are being deprived, and it's been made very difficult for them to get pain relief.
Okay.
And then just to put, they say here, prescription painkillers and heroin. I don't know why they don't break out the two groups, but they put the two groups together, are responsible for about 28,600 deaths in 2014. So this is the urgency that they have to spend over $1 billion to try and control. Now, what about?
Don't you think that it's increasing, though? I understand that 28,000, in your view, does not necessarily warrant over $1 billion of government money being spent on this situation to fight abuse. But don't you think that it is spreading?
Well, I'm not sure, but here's what is happening. As it becomes more difficult to get pain medication, they're going to heroin.
Right.
So the use of heroin is going up because these people cannot get relief. So it's funny. You say, well, you can't have the pain medicine. That doesn't help the pain go away. I think the government needs to stay out of the picture and let doctors do their job.
Okay. And who might be responsible? Where does the responsibility fall for enhancing the efficiency of our medical approach? Our medical approach is failing. We have doctors who day after day after day after day write prescription after prescription for cholesterol medication. What does that lead to? Oh, a suppression of your immune system. Depression. And increased risk of a variety of different unpleasant illnesses associated with rhabdomyolysis. So here are the people faithfully taking the drug provided by their physician, and it leads them down a path to more significant health issues or a variety of health issues.
Before we go on to a related topic, so what happened was narcotics were the standard treatment for pain until they came out with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And they said, well,
oh, the ones that cause gastrointestinal bleeding?
Correct. The pharmaceutical companies make about $30 billion annually with over-the-counter tablets sold in the United States. Maybe this is what they're going at. Well, if you don't get the pain, the narcotics, you go for the NSAIDs. But the problem with that is the number of deaths associated with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. If you were to look at that, you have deaths from leukemia, deaths from AIDS, and deaths from non-steroidal anti-inflammatory toxicity. It's higher than deaths from cervical cancer, from Hodgkin's disease, from asthma, and from multiple myeloma. So here's a drug that they said use instead of the narcotics. It's estimated conservatively, that means there's probably more, that 16,500 people die each year from using these drugs. But we want to stop people from using narcotics, which if used appropriately, by the way,
are very effective.
Are very safe. I mean, I'd rather, you know, treat a patient for constipation than gastrointestinal bleeding.
Okay.
And by the way, if you remember, Alonzo Mourning had to have a kidney transplant for kidney failure, because of the excessive use of nonsteroidals. He's alive, but his kidneys failed. So there are a lot of side effects from this drug, just saying. So anyway, he's got 16,500 from nonsteroidals. You have 24,000 from prescription painkillers. And you know what? They said prescription painkillers. I'm not sure if they even included nonsteroidals there. Maybe it's not the narcotics, although this is why he's asking for the $1 billion. They just say prescription painkillers. You could have nonsteroidals in that category. But I want. But putting all that aside, what are we doing about deaths from cigarettes? 480,000 deaths a year from smoking. How come nobody cares about that?
Okay, but to a certain extent, it has been addressed, maybe not necessarily in the most correct way, but the Surgeon General's warning on every pack of cigarettes, no more advertisements on television. I don't know. Are there print advertisements in magazines for cigarettes? I don't know.
If there is an ad, there's a... warning.
Right.
Yeah. So we have 480,000 deaths a year from cigarette smoking.
And we tolerate that,
by the way. We don't have a state of emergency. We don't have the government asking for billions of dollars to try and stop people from smoking. Then you have...
Do you think we should?
No. I think people need to take personal responsibility for their actions. But next, we have alcohol use.
But we use, medical insurance, that the cost of that medical treatment is spread among the very wide population. So the smokers are contributing to increased insurance costs to treat the very serious illnesses that at the end of their lives they're dealing with.
Okay, and next you have alcohol use. 88,000 people die a year from alcohol related causes. So far more than from painkillers.
Might those alcohol-related deaths also be related to nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory use at the same 24-hour time frame that they are using? They're using that combination of alcohol and the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory, and they're creating liver damage.
Perhaps. You don't know, because people may be drinking for pain control too.
Right.
But they may be drinking because they like to drink, stress management. There's a lot of reasons. Now, then there's sugary drinks. Worldwide, they're blaming 184,000 deaths a year on sugary drinks. The number is really more, because I think every illness can have is made worse by excessive sugar intake.
People are starting to catch on about soda, and in particular, as you mentioned, the sugary drinks, but the diet sugary drinks as well.
Well, before we go to a break, in this country, 25,000 deaths attributed to sugary drinks in the United States, more than the painkillers. So I just don't see the approach here. It doesn't seem to be consistent.
Good lobbying. Okay. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we've got the news for you. Dr. Slavin?
Well, it all started off when Obama asked for over $1 billion to help people who have painkiller and heroin addiction problems.
So that's where the war on drugs started?
No, but I pointed out there's far more people dying from tobacco use and from alcohol use and even from the use of excess sugar in their diet. That's not being addressed. But here's another problem you may have seen. They're trying to normalize obesity. Why do I say that? Ken and Barbie. They want to make fat dolls now.
Well, I'm sorry, but the vision of what is attractive in a physical form is abnormal. And don't you see many, and I'm going to say mostly females, who are attempting for a physical form that is requires essentially starvation? And I talk to women who spend 3 and 4 hours a day in the gym. They consume maybe 1,200 calories a day. I mean, there gets to be obsession.
Yeah, but I think for the majority, it's not working. You know, you're showing...
Let the record show that Dr. Slavin has amused himself very, very significantly
here.
You're
saying skinny dolls is going to make people become anorexic. It may have affected a few people, but by and large, the vast majority of people in this country are overweight. And
but
now
look
to
at
normalize being overweight.
Size zero is the goal for a lot of teenage girls and young adults. Size zero is, in my opinion, not necessarily a health supported body shape.
I'm not going to disagree, but models are a separate category because they're there to display the clothes. They say they have to be like a hanger. They don't want to detract from the clothing. So that's a whole different issue.
And so women get the message that in order to have their clothing look lovely on them, they have to have the width and depth of a hanger so that the clothes hang beautifully on their skeletal shape. I'm sorry. Well, I think it points people in the wrong direction. Not that I'm for obesity. Certainly, you know, people need to have reasonable diet, but I'm sorry that the dolls and the modeling industry, the clothing industry, this perspective that to be very, very slim is the only healthy way. I disagree.
Both extremes are bad, as are extremes in everything. But to make the dolls look heavy now is in a way saying it's okay to be overweight. And it's definitely not okay because there are a lot of health consequences to it. So I think that's all. You shouldn't normalize being overweight.
I'm not suggesting people should be overweight, but underweight, which is the perceived aspect of beauty, is wrong.
Well, I don't think it's working. I think by far you have, I think, a lot more overweight people than underweight people.
And why do we have that, Dr. Slavin? Medical community suggesting that you should have a low-fat diet. And so many different suggestions in the media that lead people astray. Diet soda, diet products in general, artificial sweeteners that have no calories, but really create a sensation of desire for something sweet, and that desire can never be satisfied because these artificial sweeteners pervert your ability to taste sweet.
The answer is they want to normalize being overweight. They want to keep people sick. They want to keep selling drugs, because if you got people to actually pay attention to what they eat and they got healthier, those billions of dollars that they spend every year on over-the-counter therapies, drug treatments, wouldn't be required, and that couldn't be allowed. So this is all intentional, and when you say they recommended the low-fat, high-carb diet, that was intentional too, to drive up the sales of cholesterol-lowering drugs.
And so intentional in the name of corporate profit. So for people who are interested in supporting their health, they have to think for themselves. They do have to be very aware of where certain recommendations are coming from. And unfortunately, we are bombarded with different pharmaceutical commercials on television, junk food commercials on television, and people are misguided. The thing is, when you see something repeated so frequently, it kind of changes your mind.
It does, but when you normalize obesity, or you normalize being overweight, it only helps the drug companies, because they're going to have more people that require their medications. Because the real solution to disease and the path to good health is by eating a better diet. It's not going to come from drugs.
Okay, didn't you say earlier this week that they were finding, with regard to mortality, that some of the older people, and I'm not remembering the quote. Okay, good. Tell me what you said.
We were having a discussion upon the traits of people that made it to over 100.
Right.
And it was said they weren't necessarily thin. Their weight wasn't
an
important attribute to the centenarians, but they did say it's still better to be thin than to be overweight. I see that in my practice all the time.
Okay, so what's our normal weight?
I don't know.
Right, people don't know. So might people who are eating quality foods, let's say for moderate activity, 1,500 calories a day for men, I'm going to say more like 18,000, very, very active people. Obviously, the calorie intake needs to be more, and that the body will find a weight where it settles.
I tell patients, I said, don't look at the scale. Look at what you're eating. If you're eating properly, your body will get to the weight that it's meant to be at.
That's what I was trying to say.
But people still look at other people. They look in the mirror, and if they're overweight, and they know who they are, it's being normalized now. So now they don't think it's an issue.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. So the solution to most of our illnesses has to be improved diet, not taking more and more drugs. And clearly, talking to patients, it's very difficult to change your diet because there are a lot of foods that people really love, despite the fact that it's not that healthy. So cut back on them. Love them a little less frequently.
And that's what I say. Do you remember when there was the concept of a treat, something special that you could have on infrequent occasions that you really, really loved? So when I'm talking to people, very often I hear, okay, well, I'm asking, what do you have after dinner? After they've told me a very, very nice diet. Well, I pretty much do ice cream every evening. And I say, there's nothing wrong with ice cream. Make sure that you choose an organic ice cream. Make sure that you're measuring it. So if you have a half a cup, and I would tell you, don't do it every night. Maybe you should do it twice a week so that you have your treat. You don't feel like you're deprived, but you're doing quality, reasonable size serving, and the infrequency that allows it to be categorized as a special treat.
All right. And we've established that it's difficult for people to change their diet. It's probably one of the most difficult things, because if it wasn't so difficult, you wouldn't see any people overweight. But there are certain things that you probably should make even a stronger attempt to change. And that's to avoid certain ingredients. And I'm going to go through a list, and when we come back, we'll talk about it. Gluten, and I'll tell you why to avoid them when we come back. Gluten, artificial sweeteners, MSG, known as monosodium glutamate, refined sugar. But I'm going to put in that category, like Janet just mentioned, all the artificial sugars too, and fluoride.
Whoa.
I think those are ingredients that we've talked about over the years. If you can't change your diet right away, at least try to take those ingredients out of your diet.
Those components sometimes are hidden, and people need to be very, very aware of addressing that, because they are toxins. But Dr. Slavin's going to tell us more when we come back from this break. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned for more.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. And welcome back. This is the last segment of Natural Doc Radio for today. And so, Dr. Slavin, you just gave us a list of things that people need to be very aware of eliminating their exposure to these substances. So tell us why.
Well, you know, the top of the list is gluten, and we've heard a lot about gluten primarily because of its association with digestive problems. Gluten is found in wheat, barley, rye, kamut, and spelt. And it can cause other issues besides digestive problems. If you're sensitive to gluten, it can be a major factor in inflammation. And when you have inflammation, it's going to affect your brain and nervous system, and I think people should be aware of that. There have been studies that have shown an association between gluten sensitivity and disorders of every part of the nervous system. So then you have, you're talking about now psychiatric problems, cognitive impairment. That could mean dementia, you know, may even mean Alzheimer's disease. So it's not just a digestive problem. The inflammation can have far-reaching effects. So something to think about. I think gluten is becoming more easily avoided. Well, if you know about it, you can. You know, the good thing is if you avoid gluten, you probably lose weight as well, because that's where most of your calories are coming from, all those grains that you eat. I don't think there's a meal that goes by in the American diet that doesn't feature some type of grain with associated gluten.
Well, people have eggs and toast for breakfast, English muffin for breakfast, possibly cereal for breakfast.
When they have that breakfast, do they have a donut at the end of it with their coffee, too?
Yeah, well, And then they will have a sandwich for lunch just because it's convenient to pack and carry, convenient to consume at your desk while at work. Then for dinner, they might have pizza. They might have pasta. And so we are over-glutened and over-dairied.
Yeah, I think important to think about. Now, next on the list, artificial sweeteners. We're talking about aspartame or NutraSweet, sucralose or Splenda, Equal or Sweet and Low. They're being put into a lot of foods. Aspartame is a combination of chemicals, aspartic acid, methanol, and phenylalanine. And they can affect the brain, too. In fact, I think they said aspartame leads the list of food complaints to the FDA. That's how bad it is. And some of the symptoms associated with aspartame include anxiety attacks, slurred speech, depression, and migraines. And you know what? And they're taking it out of more and more products, but they're replacing it with other artificial sweeteners. So look out for that. And, you know, I say if you have to have something with a sweetener, might as well just make sure it has cane sugar, not high fructose corn syrup either. Or now they're changing the name of high fructose corn syrup. They're trying to just maybe call it corn syrup, or, you know, just very deceiving what they're trying to do.
Corn sweetener. What about stevia, Dr. Slavin?
Well, stevia so far has had a good reputation.
Right. And a lot of people complain about the taste, and I tell people it's an acquired taste. And so one of the ways to introduce it is a little bit of organic evaporated cane juice crystals and a little bit of stevia. And very gradually you reduce the cane juice sweetener and rely totally on the stevia. Another way to introduce it is not my favorite choice, but you can use Truvia. See, it seems that people prefer that taste a little bit better, and that is a combination of stevia with erythritol, a sugar alcohol. So there are a number of different ways to get your palate acclimated to the sweetening taste of stevia. Stevia not having any negative impact on your blood sugar chemistry.
All right. I mean, I can't argue with that.
Well, good. Thank you, right? Okay.
I do want to say, though, and this has been reported, that when someone had their blood sugar tested before and after drinking an artificially sweetened beverage, the sugar went up, even though they didn't have sugar, because there's something about the sweetness, not the calories, that triggers that spike in sugar.
I talk to people with unstable blood sugar all the time about eliminating those artificial sweeteners. So Splenda, Sweet and Low, Equal, Sucralose, Saccharin, and Aspartame, those three are very much related to creating blood sugar instability. Is very important to eliminate them if you are monitoring your blood sugar.
All right. Now, it's been a while since we talked about monosodium glutamate, but I think we're all familiar with it. It's a flavor enhancer, and it does work, but it causes a lot of serious problems like headaches. You know, they talk about the Chinese restaurant syndrome, and other neurological problems have been linked to the use of monosodium glutamate or MSG, including Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis, lupus, and more. And the problem with MSG is they don't always list it on the label as MSG. It could be found in a lot of different products, healthy snacks, salad dressings, barbecue sauce, bouillon cubes, canned soup, and vegetables. But I did print out a list here of how they disguise MSG, because I think it's important to know.
It's virtually impossible to assure yourself that a processed food does not contain MSG. If you see natural flavors, you think you're good to go. But natural flavors is one of the catch-all phrases for MSG.
Well, let me ask you this question. If a product says it's organic, could it have MSG in it?
My guess is, from the look on your face, Dr. Slavin, yes.
Well, I don't know the answer.
Okay.
I'm just wondering now.
Okay.
It just came to me. But okay. Other names for MSG, yeast food, or autolyzed or hydrolyzed yeast extract. Hydrolyzed protein. I see that in a lot of products.
Right.
You would never think that that's an MSG. Soy protein concentrate or isolate could have MSG. Dose conditioners, malted barley, sodium caseinate, calcium caseinate, gelatin, seasoning, spices. You know, when you see those names, the MSG, if MSG is put in by itself, they have to label it. But it's put in the context of another product, another ingredient, they don't have to label it. A flavoring of any kind could be listed as natural flavors, could have MSG. Carrageenans could have MSG. Whey protein, hydrolyzed oat flour, bouillon broth. So, you know, I'm not sure if we're probably getting MSG and we don't even know it. So the solution is, then, you got to make your own food.
Make your own soup. It's very, very easy. It's very interesting because you're talking about bouillon cubes in particular. And your question is, can something be labeled organic and could it have MSG in it? And I'm thinking about the organic bouillons that I suggest all the time as the base for soups, making homemade soups. It doesn't take an absolutely huge amount of effort to come up with a homemade soup that you have put all of the ingredients in yourself, and you know where they came from. You know that they are organic.
Okay, we have just two more to go over. Refined sugar. You know, pay attention to the sugar. It's an inflammatory factor. Causes inflammation. And I see a lot of inflammation in people. You know, you don't see inflammation in people if you don't check for it. So inflammation is a common problem. Sugar can increase inflammation. Sugar can also have serious effects on the brain. And then lastly on the list we talked about earlier is fluoride. They're adding fluoride to water and to significant levels, way beyond what's considered to be safe. And fluoride can also affect the brain and normal behavior.
So all these kids with behavioral problems, forget about the names that they attach to them. You know, you don't have to have be a psychiatrist to recognize abnormal behavior. You may not be able to put the appropriate name to it.
Maybe it doesn't even have an appropriate name. Maybe that name is a made-up catch-all phrase. Dr. Slavin, Natural Doc Radio is out of time, and I just want to remind everyone that we'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 11, with more information that you can use to support your good health. Thanks so much.